My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
Let's talk about China's debt problem. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Leanna Byrne. New figures show that China's vast international infrastructure program, the Belt and Road Initiative, has been hampered by bad loans. Countries such as Sri Lanka, Pakistan and Turkey, who are in economic crisis, are struggling to repay the money they borrowed. $78 billion worth of borrowing was renegotiated or written off between 2022 and the end of March this year. This is against a backdrop of rising national debt. In China, it grew by more than a third in the past year. Here's Louise Liu, senior economist at Oxford Economics based in Singapore, speaking to the BBC's Nick Marsh.
The data that you mentioned, that's worrying because we have seen a very sharp rise over the last year. And a lot of it is driven by, if you look down at the specific sectors, a lot of it is driven by the government sector. So that really reflects the fact that stimulus has been a lot more accommodative, a lot more forthcoming. Mm-hmm. If you look at the private sector debt, that hasn't really grown. And worryingly, that reflects the fact that demand on the private side hasn't really been as strong as government authorities would like that to be. It is worrying that it's coming from government and especially the local government implicit debt. So these are the off-balance sheet debt. I think that will be one of the policy focus for the government going forward this year.
Yeah, and on the flip side, you've got the money that's owed to China as well from developing countries for Belt and Road projects, for example. I was reading a report this morning that money is being written off left, right and centre. Basically, $78 billion worth has either been renegotiated or written off. I mean, that must be a worry as well.
Yes, indeed. I think that is a worry because it raises question as to what is the strategy going forward, especially in the Belt and Road initiatives, but also in some of these sovereign debt restructurings that China has really been very forthcoming in volunteering itself to. So I think there hasn't been really any question on whether China has the fiscal or political will to continue doing what it does. I think the question is really whether or not that will spill over into some of these opportunity costs that were lost, given that governments will likely have to spend less on some of these more economically less productive measures at home.
Louise Liu, senior economist at Oxford Economics there. Now, let's do the numbers. Sticking with China, latest data shows the economy is getting back to normal. Home prices there rose at their fastest pace in 21 months and exports grew faster than expected. And India's largest private bank, HDFC, reported a 20% jump in net profit for the quarter ending March. The net profit, however, missed street estimates. Since Russia invaded Ukraine, huge efforts have been made to ensure grain continued to flow from the country. But now Poland has temporarily banned grain imports to protect its own farmers. The European Commission says the restrictions are unacceptable because if you're in the EU, it's Brussels which decides on trade policy. From Warsaw, here's the BBC's Adam Easton.
An influx of cheap Ukrainian wheat into Poland has caused problems for the Polish government. On the one hand, it wants to continue to support Ukraine, but it also needs to be seen to protect its own farmers, who are protesting against lower grain prices, especially because it relies on their votes to get re-elected in a few months' time. Polish officials insist the ban is an emergency measure, but is legal. The European Commission disagrees. Ukraine wants to re-establish the transit of grains through Poland, and officials from both sides are expected to discuss ways to solve the problem.
BBC's Adam Easton with that report. Now, do you recognise this? Angry Birds look like they're going to be getting a big payout. Sega Sammy, the Japanese games maker behind the Sonic the Hedgehog franchise, has launched a $776 million offer for Rovio Entertainment, the Finnish group behind the game. But does anyone play Angry Birds these days? I asked freelance gaming journalist Louise Blaine.
Yeah, I think the thing about Angry Birds is we have forgotten that, you know, there was that initial rush when we played it on iPad and we played it on iPhone and we were knocking down those pigs with birds with our slingshots, but it kind of disappeared for a lot of us. But actually, it's really been ticking over since launch, to the point where there's tie-ins with Star Wars, there's been sequels, there's been all kinds of connections. But Angry Birds has also been transformed into movies. There's two Angry Bird movies, which I think if you've got kids, you've probably seen them. There's also even an Angry Birds TV show. So it's very much one of those IPs that sort of moved beyond games.
Is it that portfolio that is attracting Sega to buy it?
Yeah, Sega's very attracted to it because they've been very successful in the mobile space. And I think Sega have said that they know that mobile gaming is apparently going to account for 56% of the gaming market by 2026. And while they have great stuff on console and they have lots of different developers on PC, etc., they really want to get into that mobile market. And they've actually said that once this goes through, they'll actually use Rovio, the Angry Birds developers, to create mobile games based on Sega's IP. We might end up getting Rovio games, you know, starring Sonic or any of the other characters that we know from Sega. So basically, they're going to leverage their power in that market.
And Louise, do you think that this deal is going to go through? Because we've had regulators looking at that huge Microsoft Activision deal.
I don't think this is going to be nearly as big as the Microsoft Activision deal, because there was such a battle over Activision, because obviously PlayStation still wanted to have Call of Duty, which is one of the most successful game IPs in the world. They wanted to hold on to that. This is actually much smaller. I mean, this kind of deal goes through quite a lot. You know, Sega bought the UK company Creative Assembly. They've bought a Japanese company called Atlus. This kind of deal is a slightly lower level. I do think this will probably go through quite seamlessly.
Louise Blaine, gaming and tech journalist, thank you so much for joining us on Marketplace.
Thank you.
Maybe when those birds get all that money, they might cheer up. That's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks to James Graham for producing. Joe Critcher is our editor. I'm Leanna Byrne. Have a great day and thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.